We're starting on a book next week that I've never led a study in. I've studied it several times, but I've never led a study in it. It's in the Old Testament, the book of Haggai. So it'll be a new experience for all of us. But so I hope you'll come. You know, we missed several Wednesday nights this year because of Christmas and New Year's, which comes on Wednesday. So we won't be having, obviously. And then the Wednesday before that is the Wednesday we go caroling, so we won't be. But it's all good, and we'll remind you of all of that when the time comes. But we'll do as we've done in this study. We'll just continue, and we'll just, you know, when we meet, we'll study. Anyway, let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this time together and for your word and for this great book of Ephesians that we spent a year working on, Lord, and studying. And I just pray that you will help us, Lord. The word is so powerful, and we thank you for it so much, because without it, we wouldn't know what to do. And your Holy Spirit leads us, and we praise you for that hymn, and we praise you for the opportunity we have to study your word. Give us a love for it. But Lord, help us to apply it in our lives and use it. We just pray this in Jesus' name. So, we're coming to the end of our study of Ephesians, and this is a letter. So, most letters, in fact, I wrote a letter today, and letters begin with a greeting, like Ephesians did, and it always ends with a yours truly. So, that's kind of what we're going to look at tonight. It's not a long study tonight, but I do feel like too many times the greetings and the yours truly's get left off of these studies. So since we had spent so much time on the whole armor of God, I just kind of did a special one for this study. It's a letter. It ends with yours truly, and it's kind of a greeting, or what we would call in church language a benediction. Baptists aren't real big on benedictions. We kind of say a closing prayer, but in many other churches, and in some Baptist churches, they use a passage of Scripture that they just say at the end of the service as a benediction. Nothing wrong with that. The Word of God is wonderful to use in that way. And so that's what this is. So let's read it at the beginning of verse 21 of Ephesians 6. It says, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that you might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to you, brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. So be it. So be it. The benediction. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ, literally in sincerity. Love here, if you want to write this down, love literally means with unfailing or undying favor. In other words, grace will be with those who are real Christians. If you're not a real Christian, you don't have grace. The only one whom grace applies to are those folks who have turned to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and belief and called upon Him in faith and belief to receive Him as their Savior in faith and belief. And He has come and has in His grace come to them. Who is a real Christian? The person who loves God sincerely and who does not cease to love Him. You know, many times, these folks in New Testament times were under attack. We just finished studying the whole armor of God and all about spiritual warfare. And it shows you that there is, and we spent two sessions on that. And the fact is that we are in a spiritual battle, spiritual war. And it's very important that we understand that. And we talked about our armory and how our armory provides all the weapons that we need to fight in this great spiritual battle that we find ourselves in. And it is easy when you're in the midst of war, when you're in the midst of battle and all of that, it is easy to become discouraged. I've been discouraged as a Christian, and I know most of you all have from time to time. It can be discouraging, but you never need to doubt the love of Jesus Christ. You never need to doubt the love of Jesus Christ. You know what I do whenever I get to feeling sorry for myself and I think, well, maybe God doesn't love me very much. Maybe He doesn't love me. I look at the cross. All you have to do is look at the cross. That is where Jesus showed His love. That is where God showed His love because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believed in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now as He finishes this up, you know, He talks about His friend that He sent to make known all of these things that He had. Apparently He sent the letter through, and He said, I've sent unto you for the same purpose, so that you might know what's going on in my life. That's what this letter is about. And that's what you do. You know, nowadays in our days of email and texting and all of that, we don't know what a real letter is, you know. I send out letters. I try to write 3 or 4 people a week. And it's surprising, these little kids get a real letter and they're like, what is that? I had one mother say he got a letter. It was the first time he'd ever gotten anything in the mail, you know. And I thought, you know, it was a big deal. But back then, that was how they got information, you know, this letter that Paul had sent to them. And so he is concluding by saying, look, for real Christians who really love the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand deep down that God never ceases to love us. Have you ever known someone who said, "Oh, I love Jesus. Oh, I love Jesus." I've been in ministry 40-something years, and I've had throughout this time when I was a youth minister, man, I had kids to, "Oh, I love Jesus." Next thing you knew, they didn't love Jesus anymore. Or when I became a pastor, you know, I'd have people tell me, I'd go visiting, you know, and someone would come to me, you know, tell me, "Oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus." And the next thing you know, they didn't love Jesus anymore, you know. And it's an interesting thing, you know. All of a sudden, they love Jesus, they love Jesus, they love Jesus. Even in this church, I've had people, "Oh, I love Jesus." The next thing you know, they don't come to church anymore. And you go see them and, "Well, I just, you know, I don't know, you know, I don't know." And, you know, and my thing is that the church is the bride of Christ. And you know what, folks, this is my bride. And when I have people tell me, "Oh, I love you, but I hate your wife." that doesn't go over very well with me. You understand what I'm saying? And I have a feeling, you know, and I, don't get me wrong, there are times you get discouraged and all that, and I know that. But if you go and you just turn your back on Jesus and you keep your back turned on him for year after year after year, I don't know that the love is real. I don't know that the Christianity is real. Because real Christians love Jesus and they love his bride, the church, no matter what. But then, you know, there used to be an old guy on TV that y'all know, Paul Harvey. Anybody remember Paul Harvey? I love Paul Harvey. And Paul Harvey always had the rest of the story. He'd tell you the story, and then he'd say, but there's more to it. There's the rest of the story. So I'll tell you the rest of the story here. 30 years after Paul wrote this letter to the Ephesians, 30 years, John wrote them a letter. But by this time, there was a new generation of Christians in the church. And I've seen this. Many of you that are older like I am, you know, you've seen this. You know, once really dynamic and vital churches all of a sudden aren't anymore. And we see this happening. John also wrote them a letter. But there was this new generation of Christians in the church. And much of the tradition of the church was going on. They were actively working. That church, man, they were in Ephesus. They were really working. They were steadfast in the truth, John said. You know, they are teaching the Word of God. They were under trials, and they were patient in those trials. They were still standing for Jesus. But their love for Jesus had declined. In fact, it had begun to die. In Revelation 2:4, it says, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." You know, and I've seen this in marriages, and we all have, you know, couples that stay together, but don't love each other. You have to admire the fact they're going to stay together. You understand what I'm saying? At least but they've left the love they once had before. You don't want to do that. You want to love each other, and you want to continue to love Jesus. Let me tell you this, folks. All of the traditions and all of the activity means nothing without love. Nothing. None of it means anything without love. You know, I often think, how many of y'all saw the president's talk last Friday, was it, up in Tupelo? We were at Becky's brother's house, and what was it, 2.5 hours? He might make it through the whole thing, you know. And he had a lot of good things to say. Now, I probably didn't make, I don't do too well in 2 hours, but he did. There were a lot of good things he had to say, but I think about our nation, and I think about how we get along, and it doesn't matter whether you agree with me or not agree with me if we don't care about each other. Churches, it doesn't matter if we all agree with each other theologically. We talk about theology on Sunday night in my class, and that's an important thing. But theology, you know, that's not as important as loving each other and caring for each other. You understand what I'm saying? So think about that. It's a big thing. Love the Lord. That should be every Christian's priority, loving Jesus. It doesn't really matter what you do if it's not done in love. As I've said, you know, we can do and do and do and do and do, But if we don't do it in love, it's a bad testimony. People outside will be watching and they'll say, you know, those people hate each other. You know, they get a lot done, but they just don't like each other very much. And I've had people tell me that about churches that I was a pastor of. It's kind of, it's embarrassing. But, you know, it was true. And part of that was my fault. Because as the pastor, you know, I'm supposed to guard against that and pray against that and preach against that. Well, anyway, it ends up, the last sentence is the main thing, I think. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. And I pray you love Jesus in sincerity. You know, like I said, if you don't, everything else is just, you know, you just all kind of a bunch of frou-frou and doesn't really mean a lot. All right. Well,